sounds of the la 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 la. Corner of 4th and Fremont. Shoot a feeling, only cause of just that. What a feeling, any practice Catholic would cross themselves upon a day. The rumors have a hint of asbestos in me. Be just a dash of formaldehyde. And the habit of decomposing right before your very long. Along with the people inside. What a wonderful gathering is your home. Intimacy inside. What a wonderful gathering is your home. Intimacy. Titanic drinks from a lawyer and a virgin, accessorizing with a rosary tucked inside her lingerie.
She's getting a job at the circle one day.
The business will stay with the seating attorney.
Regarding his sex, she really needs his money.
What a wonderful caricature of intimacy.
Yeah.
Not to mention the gossip one.
Hello, I'm Micah, this is Book It, and you're listening to KWS Davis 90.3 FM. The following views presented in this half hour do not reflect the views of KWS, KWS sponsors, or the University of California. Yeah, of course we got the Guts theme music in the background. I like how dramatic it is, so we're going to keep that going for this show. But yeah, today, just me, no DJ Drainfield. And I think the rest of the shows might just be me as well, so no goat here. It's really sad. But today, the book we're going to be talking about is called Heaven by Mieko Kawakami. Mieko Kawakami is a very interesting person. I think her most famous book, I feel like I've said this so many times before, but her most famous book is definitely Breasts and Eggs. It's kind of like it's really popular, and it's kind of like a feminist book. And it just kind of follows, like, the life of these two women, through their journey of, like, womanhood and motherhood, and it's really beautiful. I've read, like, half of that book. I unfortunately left my book in Texas, so I haven't been able to finish the other half of it, but it was very beautiful from what I was reading. But I really enjoy Mieko Kawakami's works. I think she's an amazing author. I know she's become very, very popular in Japan. She's from Japan. But yeah, I think her writing is very beautiful, and I can't wait to read more of her works. But today is Heaven. Like I said, this is honestly, I think, one of my favorite books. I read this book, actually, the first time I ever saw this book was years ago, or a while ago, like a couple years ago. I remember I was going through section, like just the books, the fiction section at Barnes & Noble, and I saw this book with a different cover. It's the cover with the boy and the girl in their school uniform. And I remember I saw this book every time I would go to Barnes & Noble, and I was always like, I kind of want to read this one day, and I just never did. And then earlier this year, like in January, February, I think, I finally read the book, and it's become one of my favorite books. I reread it again for the show, just because I think it's a great book. It's quite short as well. It's only, let me see, it's like less than 200 pages. Yeah, it's only 175 pages. But it's a really good book. Like, you could probably read this, like, in a day or something if you'd really like to. But yeah. we'll get into what the book's about. Like I actually I haven't said this before, but this show we're going to be reviewing, but also spoilers. So if you kind of want to read this book, and you don't want to know any spoilers, I would recommend not listening to the show if you'd like, because I'm definitely going to talk about a lot of what goes on and the ending and things like that. But yeah, this book is really sad. It kind of touches on subjects like bullying and stuff, and it's kind of like a beautiful, like, and painful story, or like portrait of adolescent misery, which is the best way to put it. The main characters are like 14 years old, in like, I guess, high school, or I'm not sure how Japanese school works over there. I think they're like the end of their middle school or the beginning of their high school. But yeah, they're all like 14, and the main character, his name is, well, actually we don't learn his name throughout the book. He's only referred to as Eyes. And he's called Eyes because the main character has a lazy eye. And so he's being constantly bullied for this, for his lazy eye. And that's why they only refer to him as Eyes. So we never learn his true name. But the book, I will say, Mieko Kawakami has talked about this before in like multiple interviews or whatever. She was heavily inspired by Nietzsche. So the book is kind of, it kind of touches on a lot of philosophical concepts. Like nihilism, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, she talks about that. She really likes philosophy, I think. But yeah, it's really interesting, a really interesting part of the book. But yeah, like I was saying, the main character, his name is Eyes. That's not his real name, that's just what his bullies call him. And we never learn his actual name throughout the book, because nobody ever refers to him as an actual name. But yeah, so he's a middle schooler. I think he's in his last year of middle school, which for us would be our freshman year of high school in the U.S. But it's their like last year of middle school in Japan. So he's like 14, and he's being regularly bullied by his peers because of his lazy eye. And so he's being like severely bullied. Like they talk about how in like one passage, like they force him to eat chalk. He eats like 3 pieces of chalk, and they force him to drink lemonade after, and then he kind of throws up everywhere all over the floor. They also talk about how like they shove him in lockers. They're constantly like throwing things at him, being really, really mean to him, and like shoving him and like hitting him, and like they beat him too as well. And they talk about how like they beat him in places that you can't see the bruises, so they won't be able to get in trouble. And it's really sad. And he kind of just takes it. He kind of is like, he just has it like accepted at this point that like he's being bullied, and he doesn't really fight back or anything. He kind of just does it. Like when they force him to eat chalk, he's narrating the entire thing, and he just talks about how like he's just chewing it, and he just wants to get it down and swallow it because he knows that's what they want him to do. And so he kind of just follows along with what they do to him so that like they don't do worse things, I guess. And so one day he comes into his classroom, he's being severely bullied and stuff like that, and he finds a note in his desk, and he like at first is like, oh, like this is definitely from the people that are bullying me, they're trying to like trick me or trap me into like something so they can get back at me or whatever. And he like throughout the day after he gets this letter, he's staring at his bullies or whatever because he thinks something is going to happen to him because of the letter. But then he kind of realizes that like they don't really know anything, because like there's one point where they're like, what are you looking at, blah blah blah, and they like argue with him or whatever. And so he's starting to realize like maybe this letter doesn't have anything to do with him. And as the days go by, he starts to get more and more letters, and it's just like the letters kind of just like are asking him questions, like little like silly like questions, like nothing like crazy, just like mundane things. But he doesn't respond to a single one, because he's still kind of afraid, obviously. And then one day he receives a letter that asks him to meet him at this, like, I guess, like the park behind like the school or something. And in his head, he gets like really bad anxiety from this because all day he's thinking about it. And after school, he runs home. He doesn't go to the park because he thinks it's a trap. He thinks that as soon as he goes there, he's going to get like beat up or something. So he doesn't go. But when he runs home, he reaches home and he kind of is like, maybe I should. And he gets this feeling that he should go back. So he does. He runs back to the school and waits there for a little while. And then later on, this girl appears, and her name is Kojima. And she appears, and she talks to him. And it turns out she's the one sending him these letters, putting these letters in his desk. And Kojima is in the same class as him, and she's also being severely bullied by like the girls in their class, and she gets bullied because of like her clothing. They call her poor and dirty. Their nickname for her is Hazmat because they say that she smells and she's nasty and stuff like that. And so they're both being severely bullied by their classmates. And so she thought that they could be friends. And that's why she wrote him letters. And that's why she wanted to meet up with him, because she wanted to be his friend. Because neither of them have friends, like a single friend. And so they talk or whatever. And they begin exchanging letters. So they'll put the letters in each other's desks or whatever. And these letters aren't like anything crazy. It's kind of just them talking about like random, like mundane things like the previous ones. But this time Kojima's getting a response from Eyes. And so they begin like finding comfort in each other through these letters. And like they write a lot of letters to each other all the time, but they never meet up. They never hang out. And this is partly because Eyes is scared of being bullied. He's scared of being like beat up. Like, he doesn't know what would happen to them. Like, he's really like just afraid. And so they never really meet up. They never talk about really meeting up either. But then they decide to meet up again at the park, I believe. And they meet up again and they talk to each other, whatever. And like I said, they find comfort in each other's company. And throughout these like letters or whatever, it kind of forces Eyes, the narrator, to kind of confront like his notions on conformity and self-acceptance. And even when they meet up in the park, he kind of talks to Kojima about things, and like she mentions that her favorite thing about him is his eye, and she thinks that his eye is beautiful, and she loves that he's different. She loves that he's different, and her favorite thing about him, like I said, is his eye, which he is surprised by, because this is what he gets severely bullied for. So they meet up or whatever, they talk, and then she invites Kojima to come to a place called Heaven. She wants to take him to Heaven, and so he doesn't know what this is, obviously, but he agrees to go. And it turns out Heaven is not a place, it's a thing. They go to an art museum, and she shows him Heaven. Heaven, we find out, is a painting. It's a painting of two lovers who live in harmony despite the suffering that they experience. This is like a very beautiful scene in the book to me, because they both of them are being severely bullied, and they kind of see themselves in this painting in Heaven when they are with each other, because this is the only time that they aren't bullied and they're able to talk to another person their age about things like being bullied, and they're able to comfort each other. And like I said, this just the painting kind of reflects them in a sense. And so Kojima gets severely like anxious while they're viewing this painting or whatever. And the thing about Kojima is she cuts things to make her feel better. And so as they're there, Eyes kind of, he lets her cut his hair so that she can feel better, because she's feeling really upset and overwhelmed. And it's, I think this is one of my favorite scenes in the book, is when she cuts his hair. It's a very intimate and very like sweet thing that happens, and kind of like shows how close they've gotten to each other. So Heaven, like I said, painting, she cuts his hair. And we find out that Kojima isn't poor. She actually lives with her mother and her stepfather, who is they're very affluent. They have a lot of money. And we find out that her parents are divorced, and her dad is the one who is like poor. He's like working a lot to constantly make like ends meet or whatever. He's not rich at all. And so we find out that Kojima is purposely making herself dirty and like going to school with like dirty clothes and stuff like that, because she feels more connected to her father in this way. And it's a really interesting like part of the book. She's chosen to like be this like dirty person, to kind of connect her father, and disconnect from her mother and her stepfather, who, like I said, are very rich and affluent. Yeah. And then we reach a point in the book where Eyes gets severely beaten up by his bullies, like really, really badly, to the point where he has to go to the hospital. And because of his injuries, he starts to suffer from insomnia. Like, it's reached a point where it's, like, super, super bad. He starts to suffer from insomnia, and he still has not told anybody that he's being bullied. He makes up, like, a lie or something when his stepmother, like, is questioning what happened to him. And like I said, yeah, he starts suffering from insomnia because of his injuries and stuff. And at this point, Eyes starts to, like, think about death. He starts to question, like, death, and he starts to think about the consequences, like, what would the consequences be of his death if he were to die. And it's kind of like he has this, like, suicidal, like, ideation thing going on, and he's just talking about dying all the time. There's some, yeah, so he says, on page 111, he says at first suicide was just a word, a vague idea separate from reality. It pointed at a way that other people chose to die, people I didn't even know. But once the word became my own, it took on the strangest shape. I could feel it growing deep inside of me. Suicide wasn't only something that happened to strangers. I could make it happen if I wanted to. And so we start to notice that, like, he's really thinking about killing himself. And it's really kind of like a sad thing to do, because sad thing that happens. Like I said, he's only 14. He's, like, being severely bullied. And he kind of starts, like, not caring about things. And it's a really painful part of the book. And he says things like, no matter how we live our lives, we all die sooner or later. In which case, living is really just waiting to die. And if that's true, why bother living at all? Why was I even alive? I'd made myself crazy, tossing and turning, hyperventilating. Then it hit me. Dying is just like sleeping. But then later on, he starts to question, like, if he should even die. He says, no matter what happens, people will always forget. If I let myself kill myself, it wouldn't change a thing. And so he starts, like, spending all his days and nights crying, just crying, because he doesn't know what to do. And he says, the tears kept coming, streaming down my face, my chest pounded, too many times to count. I sat paralyzed in bed and watched the night come to an end. And when Kojima keeps writing him notes throughout this, like, happening, and while he's, like, kind of accepting this, Kojima's starting to become defiant towards her bullies, and kind of fighting back, and they kind of stop talking to each other. And then at some point, on his way, like, at the hospital, he has to, like, get medication for himself. He goes to the hospital. He confronts one of his bullies. His name is Momose, and he starts questioning him, asking him, why are you doing this to me? Why do you bully me? Why does me hurting satisfy you? And he kind of is just, like, confronting him and asking him all of these questions, because he wants answers. He's getting, like, tired of it. And so Momose kind of responds to him, and he's kind of surprised that Eyes, like, is even confronting him. But we learn that Momose doesn't care about right or wrong. And as we talk, or as he's talking to him, he basically is saying that, like, Eyes, the main character, needs to find what he believes in, and he encourages him to believe in whatever he wants, and to, like, find that and practice it. And so they have this, like this whole, like, argument back and forth, like, what is the meaning? Like, it's kind of like an argument of morality, like. And it's a really interesting conversation. And mind you, they're still 14 years old. And so after this, we learn that he can fix his eye. It's a super easy procedure. It's like an hour or something to fix his eye or whatever. And so he finds this out and he tells Kojima about it. And this upsets Kojima because she thinks that his eye is what makes him him. And she begs him to not get this surgery. But he is starting to form his own opinions and things like that. And he kind of realizes that he wants to get the surgeon, he wants to fix his eye, but he's also, like, questioning himself, like, is that what he really wants, or is that just what people are telling him he should have? And it's really, really interesting, and we kind of see, like, his realization of that, like, he is his own person, and he doesn't really have to do what other people are telling him to do. And so he decides to go through the surgery. And there's also a point in the book where the bullies like send him a note, and he thinks it's Kojima wanting to meet up with him after they haven't spoken. Okay, yeah. Well, let me backtrack really quickly. So after he tells Kojima about this, they have this fight. They stop talking to each other for a while. And so one day he gets another note, and he thinks it's from Kojima, and he's excited because he wants to talk to her again. So he goes to meet up at the park where the note says, only to find his bullies and Kojima there. And they beat them up, and they strip them of their clothes and stuff, and they try to make them perform certain acts with each other. But Kojima doesn't let this happen. She starts acting really crazy and erratic, and it kind of scares off the bullies. But one of the bullies, I forget his name, the main one, he like beats up Eyes, and it's really kind of a sad thing. And after this happens, or not Eyes, he beats up Kojima really badly, to the point where like somebody kind of stops what's happening, and then they have to take her to the hospital, and it's like this whole crazy thing. And after this happens, Eyes confesses to his stepmother about what's been happening to him, and he decides that he needs to get the eye surgery. And so he goes through the eye surgery, he fixes his eye, he doesn't talk to Kojima again. And there's a scene at the very end of the book that I think is very beautiful, where he goes outside and he finally sees the world through his new eyes, and he starts to cry because it's so beautiful. And it's honestly really, really interesting scene. This book, like I said, really, Kawakami was really inspired by Nietzsche and nihilism and stuff, and we can kind of see that in the characters themselves. Kojima kind of represents like this positive existentialism throughout the book, and so positive existentialism basically is that we can only find possible meaning in our lives through suffering. Kojima is constantly talking about suffering and how it makes them, and she also talks about how like her and Eyes, like their suffering makes them like be able to like empathize and understand why others do the things that they do. And it's kind of that like suffering is kind of necessary for this to like happen, for them to like be empathetic, if that makes any sense. And it's a really interesting viewpoint that she has. A lot of people have also talked about how like she kind of represents like this like kind of religious standpoint as well, that I probably won't get into because I just can't explain it very well. And then obviously the bullies in the story, specifically Momose, represent nihilism, and that there is no meaning in anything, including suffering, and that your suffering has no purpose, so that you should choose to not suffer. And we see this mainly with Momose's conversation with Eyes, like outside the hospital, when he's telling him that he basically needs to do what he wants to do because there is no meaning to life. And that he needs to find what he believes in and just start practicing that. And Momose kind of is like, or not Momose, Eyes is kind of like in like this in-between character who's trying to figure out what he believes in himself. And we see that throughout the book as he struggles to believe in what Kojima is saying, and when he struggles to understand what Momose is telling him. And in the end, Eyes kind of finds his own thing, and he kind of just decides to do what he wants to do, and he doesn't want to suffer anymore. So that's why he gets his eye surgery, and he fixes the one thing about him that people hate. But he, when he does this, he doesn't do it because of other people are telling him to do this or because it'll make his life better. He does it because he finally accepts that he wants to himself, if that makes any sense. The book is really, really interesting, and it kind of like gives us these questions about like what gives value to suffering, and are we responsible for our own actions, things like that. It also kind of basically covers, not basically, like kind of talks, like covers Nietzsche's like abstract view on the will to power, and the will to power is the drive of the Superman in the philosophy of Nietzsche to perfect and transcend the self through the possession and exercise of creative power. And it kind of talks about like the desire for power and things like that. I think this book, I also really quickly, I want to touch on what some of the things that Momose says two eyes in their conversation, because I think it's extremely one of probably the most important part of the book is this conversation. And he says to Momose says to Eyes, "Hear me out, though. There's no beautiful world where everyone thinks the same way and they all understand each other perfectly. It doesn't exist. You think it does, but it is it, but it's not real. When you really look at what's going on, everyone's living in their own world. They come into contact." And he keeps going and says, "When our worlds come into contact, it might look like they're connected, but they're not. It's like you said before. You thought you get bullied because of your eyes. To me, though, that doesn't make any sense. I don't care if things are so bad that you can't sleep. That's got nothing to do with me. It doesn't make me feel anything. Nothing. Your problems have never crossed my mind. It's not even bullying to me. And I'm not just talking about the two of us. It's like this for everyone. Things never go the way we want them to, but your desires have no effect on what happens out there in the real world. We're all caught up in our own personal values trying to get whatever we want. All I mean is, if you want it to stop, your only option is to do something to us. Like I said, it doesn't matter to me. I get nothing out of it, but in the moment, something comes to me, an idea, an opportunity presents itself. That's also why we're standing here talking, right?" So yeah, their entire conversation, I think, is kind of the point where Eyes like changes his viewpoint on everything and starts to pull away from what Kojima has been telling him, he starts to form his own ideas and things. And this is also kind of the point where he decides to like go ahead and get the surgery to fix his eye. But yeah, this book is really, really, I think, amazing. Heaven by Miyako Kawakami. It's become one of my favorite books, like, of all time. I think it's a very, very beautiful book, and I really appreciate how she presents the struggle between like positive existentialism and nihilism, like, and the struggle of like growing and learning as an adolescent. And it's a really, really interesting like I don't know what the word is, but it's like it's a really, really interesting like story. And I think Miyako Kawakami is probably honestly one of like the best authors in the modern day. She's really, really amazing. I think the way she presents all her ideas and writes is really awesome. And a lot of her books can like kind of contain this like a lot of what she reads. Like, you can tell that like the philosophy that she's engaging in and reading is being presented in her books. Like I said, or like she said multiple times, she read a lot of Nietzsche, and that kind of inspired a lot of this book. And you, like I said earlier, you can really, really see that throughout the book. Obviously, I'm not an expert on nihilism or Nietzsche or existentialism even. I really only like read about like Stoicism and things like that. But I really appreciate it, the way she presents like all of this information and stuff. And like I said, I think it's an amazing book. I think she does that all really, really well. And I think the main character, Eyes, is honestly really, really well written. And like throughout the book, like I said, we kind of see him growing and learning and kind of forming his own ideas on the world, and starting to understand the world and stuff. And I really enjoy the ending, where he finally like sees the world for what it is, and through his new eyes, and when he starts crying because he thinks that it's beautiful. I'll read that here. It says, "Everything I could see was beautiful. I cried and cried, standing there surrounded by the beauty, even though I wasn't standing anywhere. I could hear the sound of my own tears. Everything was beautiful. Not that there was anyone to share with, anyone to tell, just the beauty." But yeah, anyways, the book for today, that was Heaven by Miyako Kawakami. Super fire book. I would rate it 10 out of 10 on the law scale. But yeah, next week is a book by Banana Yoshimoto. It's called Dead End Memories Stories. Banana Yoshimoto, also super famous Japanese author. She has amazing books. Her most famous one is probably Kitchen, which I might read on a different book show later on. But yeah, stay tuned for that if you'd like. And I'll catch you next week. Bye.
Check out now. This is the Diz. Dizzy Gillespie, that is. And let me give you some information. If you want to hear some good sounds, the sounds that's round, keep your radio tuned to KDBS in Davis, 90.3 on your FM dial. Look out. Ow! This is the Diz signing off.
Welcome to KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. It's a weekly radio show that's aired here on KDVS for the last quarter century. You're probably wondering how that's possible. Well, when I started here, I was a young faculty member, and now I am a faculty member who is, see if you can follow the math, young plus 25 years. I'm happy to be here with you. Thanks very much for tuning in to your local campus and community radio station. I think it's time for me to trigger the theme music. John Schofield, if you will. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. You know, I haven't forgotten my phone once. When I first started doing this radio show, I used a Palm Pilot. Can you imagine that? A Palm Pilot, where I had my show notes, such as they were. Nowadays, I coordinate with my excellent producer, Dyson. He sets up the script and then sends it to me, and I have it on my phone. I memorize it, I digest it, I prepare it in my head as I stroll leisurely to the radio station. Well, today I drove somewhat less leisurely. Where'd the music go? I drove somewhat less leisurely to KDBS, and atypically, I left my cell phone at home. Can you imagine? A techno-immersive person is myself, lasting a few hours, including the hour of his own technology radio show without a cell phone to guide him. Luckily, with the help of my wife, Kate, at home, I was able to get onto Gmail and access the very script that Dyson has set up for me. And oh, what a script it is. It reminds me.